From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, October 30th, 2025. Another casualty of the ongoing government shutdown, Maine's Emergency Heating Fuel Assistance Program. As Nicole Ogrisco reports, the state says it won't be able to open the program as planned on November 1st.
The Low-Income Heating Emergency Assistance Program, also known as LIHEAP, provides a one-time payment to eligible households to help pay for a portion of that season's heating expenses. The state usually receives LIHEAP funding through the federal government around this time of year, says Maine Housing's Eric Jorgensen. But because the government is shut down, the state does not have money available to issue regular payments or emergency payments through the Energy Crisis Intervention Program.
Nothing else substitutes for this. So, like, I think with so much of this shutdown, the people who are being hit hardest are the ones who can really least afford it. They're older people, they're disabled people.
Jorgensen says it may take up to 30 days after the shutdown ends until federal heating assistance funds are available in Maine. Still, the Housing Authority is encouraging people to apply for benefits through their local community action agency. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
The American Civil Liberties Union of Maine says it's seeking more information about a Border Patrol traffic stop that it says may have overstepped the agency's constitutional authority. The administrative complaint filed Thursday stems from a traffic stop in Maine near Presque Isle. The ACLU says Border Patrol agents pulled over two Hispanic people for speeding, then allegedly detained a bystander who had stopped to film the interaction. ACLU staff attorney Anahita Satuhi says Customs and Border Protection agents do not have the authority to stop people solely based on their race or for traffic violations.
Just being Hispanic does not create reasonable suspicion or probable cause. And nor does CBP have the authority to pull people over for speeding.
The stop did not result in any arrests. A Border Patrol spokesperson did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Maine's Secretary of State has approved an application for a citizen initiative that seeks to establish a universal health care system in Maine. If approved by voters, the initiative would direct state lawmakers to create a publicly funded health care system available to all Maine residents. Supporters must first get nearly 68,000 signatures by February 2nd to qualify for the ballot in 2026. As of tomorrow, Maine Family Planning will no longer provide primary care, which it offers at its clinics in Presque Isle, Holton, and Ellsworth. The organization announced earlier this month that it's facing a $2 million annual loss after Congress blocked Medicaid reimbursements to health providers that offer abortion services. Maine Family Planning nurse practitioner Heather Curran says she's worried that some patients may not seek primary care elsewhere.
There really is a need for the services like we had here, where, you know, people have had some kind of trauma or some reason why it's difficult for them to talk to a provider. And we really had the time here to sit down with them and explain things and kind of encourage them to get the care they needed.
The nonprofit is working to connect its roughly 800 primary care patients to other providers. Its clinics will remain open for family planning services. Groundwater levels in parts of Maine are at historic lows despite recent rainfall, and Sarah Jamison with the National Weather Service says the state needs at least 12 inches of rainfall to improve conditions.
And until we can see that recharge, this drought that we are seeing right now is going to remain in the severe to extreme category.
Extreme drought spread to more than 40% of Maine this week, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. Jamison says if the state doesn't get more rain before the ground freezes, drought could persist into the spring. York Hospital plans to merge with Maine Health. President Patrick Taylor says the independent hospital is facing multiple issues, including the increase in cost of labor, supplies, and technology, as well as getting reimbursed from payers. The latest available tax filings for York Hospital show it had a $10 million operating loss in fiscal year 2023.
If we want to continue to deliver the care in the way that we deliver here, provide the healthcare services that we do to the Southern York County, we needed a partner. And when we looked at that, we've determined that Maine Health is our best partner.
The two health organizations must obtain state approval for the merger. Taylor says the process will likely take about 9 months. District Attorney Natasha Irving says she had what she calls a respectful dialogue today with members of Lincoln County's Budget Advisory Committee who earlier this month threatened to defund her department. Nora Sachs has more.
Irving, who is the top prosecutor for four Midcoast counties, says at first she was shocked at the committee's, quote, reckless recommendation and threatened to sue if their suggested budget of $1 got approved. Some local officials have been critical of Irving's reformist approach and use of restorative justice practices. But at an informational meeting Thursday at the Lincoln County Planning Office, Irving says she was encouraged by the discussion around issues like domestic violence and recidivism that local officials say they're concerned about.
So I'm really impressed with the budget committee coming in here, disagreeing and being critical of the criminal justice system and my role in it, and now being willing to learn, and we can learn from each other through this process. And I think that that is how we want county government to work, and we don't want Maine to become Washington, D.C.
Lincoln County commissioners invited Irving to discuss her requested budget in more detail with them before they vote on a final budget, likely in November. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs.
As the government shutdown seems likely to continue into November, some 170,000 people in Maine are bracing for the loss of benefits through the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, better known as SNAP, that has local food pantries and soup kitchens preparing for a surge in demand. Maine Public's Michael Livingston checked in with a few hunger prevention organizations in the Augusta area.
At the Bread of Life Soup Kitchen, head chef Willie Brown has his volunteer staff chopping peppers and cracking eggs for today's lunch menu.
I'm making barbecue pulled pork, rice, veggies, mixed veggies, and rolls.
About 60 to 65 people show up for breakfast in the one-hour time slot. More than 100 are expected for lunch.
When I do eggs, I have to crack about 12 dozen. And I'll cook like sausage with it, and I cook like, I do a mixture of stuff. I serve a lot of fruit in the morning and stuff like that.
Bread of Life is also a homeless shelter, an addiction recovery center, and manages 106 subsidized housing units in Augusta. According to Executive Director Victoria Abbott, the majority of the people the nonprofit serves receive SNAP benefits, a national food assistance program that provides monthly grocery money to more than 22 million households in the U.S. But due to the federal government shutdown, those low-income families won't see any of that money after Saturday. Without money to feed themselves, Abbott says they will cut other areas of their household budget, such as healthcare or car payments.
My biggest concern are the people who don't have transportation to the soup kitchen, whose maybe part-time jobs don't allow them to have the flexibility to get food from us or from Augusta Food Bank or any food bank in their area. I think there's folks out there that are just going to cut back and cut back.
For the Augusta Food Bank, large crowds are nothing new.
So far, we've been able to meet the demand, even though 5 years ago we were bringing in 600,000 pounds of food a year and distributing. This year we'll do 1.5 million pounds of food.
That's CEO Bob Moore. He says rising costs of housing and groceries have more people using the food bank than ever before. Moore says there's no good way of predicting how many more people will visit because of the lapsed federal benefits, but he's putting out calls for more food, funds, and volunteers to help with whatever comes next.
To use a politically incorrect term, it's not just poor people anymore. You know, it's not habitually poor people that are finding trouble making ends meet.
According to the state of Maine, 75% of SNAP households include at least one working adult, more than half include a person with a disability, and more than one-third include children. Alexis Beebe just got back from dropping her two sons off at school. She's a single mom and gets about $600 on her EBT card every month to help feed her family. She's relied on Bread of Life and other organizations in Augusta. But she says the money from SNAP has always helped the most.
It has given me peace of mind, having two children that are eating more than adults at this point in their growing stage. It makes me not worry about food. That's one thing that I haven't had to have in my mind as a struggle until recently.
Beebe says she buys a lot of the same things every month with her SNAP dollars. Things like chicken, rice, beans, and occasional treats for the boys when they're being good. She's optimistic that by visiting local food pantries and following low-cost recipes from social media, she'll be able to get by over the course of the shutdown. Her main goal is for her kids not to notice when the family falls on hard times.
They never go hungry. They've never thought like, oh, we're not gonna have food. There's always food in the house. It might not be something exactly that they want, but they have no idea about the upcoming cuts because, you know, it hasn't happened yet, and it's not something that they need to worry about because I'll always work my butt off to figure it out for them.
According to the State Department of Health and Human Services, SNAP benefits already loaded onto EBT cards in October remain available for use to purchase food. Those who need additional resources are encouraged to call their local food pantry or dial 211. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
And now to Aroostook County, where the town of Holton recently agreed to remove surveillance cameras equipped with facial recognition technology and destroy data as part of a settlement with residents who plan to take the town to court. The residents argued that Maine law prohibits possession and use of facial recognition technology, but other forms of artificial intelligence are being tested by municipal governments to help with code enforcement, research, water quality analysis, and other daily functions. And as Caitlin Bedion reports, it's raising questions about what kinds of data local officials have access to and how they're using it.
When the Sanford Police Department was informed of a stolen vehicle this spring, it didn't take long to solve the case.
And they were able to find the vehicle within 24 hours of it being reported stolen, which is for Maine unheard of.
Major Mark Dyer says that's because municipalities in New Hampshire and Massachusetts spotted the vehicle with cameras that use artificial intelligence to search for license plate numbers, vehicle color, and more.
It would tell us this vehicle went through on this day and time, and it would give us a little video, like a 2 seconds video of them driving through the intersection.
And Dyer says that's far more efficient than having an officer review the footage.
So that allows the officers to not have to put in time just watching a static camera of video footage for hours and hours, hoping that the vehicle went through.
Dyer says the success in the stolen vehicle case prompted the department to look into installing the cameras in Sanford at a cost of $3,300 for installation and an annual subscription fee of $23,000. The city council voted last month to start a free 60-day trial with the service. But after pushback from residents, the council reversed course and canceled it. And as other Maine communities test the waters of AI, privacy advocates are sounding alarms about the kind of information being collected.
All of this is not illegal behavior, but it's also none of the government's business.
Beryl Lipton is senior investigative researcher at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. She says many municipal leaders are well-meaning in their attempts to strike a balance between public safety concerns and the right to privacy.
However, when we're dealing with data in this way, again, it's very difficult to ensure that it's only going to be applied and used in the ways discussed.
Lipton says given the pace at which this technology is evolving, it's particularly hard for small municipalities to create and enforce their own policies for accountability in the absence of broader regulations or industry standards. More and more small municipalities are turning to AI programs as the technology becomes cheaper and more accessible.
So it's less about like completely prohibiting its use in certain areas and more about controlling its use effectively and safely.
Brian McDonald is the director of IT and administration for the Maine Municipal Association. He says municipalities across Maine are beginning to utilize AI in a variety of ways, such as permitting research for code enforcement officers, for assessing property values, and to do road mapping. But McDonald says at this early stage in the legal history of AI, local governments take a risk by investing in a new service.
You know, something could change all of a sudden. You've signed, a five-year contract. There's a change of law, and now you can't use this feature that you paid a lot of money for.
McDonald says he helped develop a model policy for association members, which stresses transparency with residents and caution in adopting new technologies. He says it's also important to have a human involved in any AI process and not let the technology make any decisions without a review. But the upside, especially for small towns with limited budgets, is considerable.
So we're not necessarily with AI doing something that a human can't do, but with analytical AI, you're doing it way faster. And so there is a real time savings there, particularly in areas where staffing is low or you have to hire a consultant at, you know, $200 an hour.
But those potential savings are being weighed against pushback from the public and from privacy advocates. A plan by officials in Old Town to partner with nearby towns on a system that aggregates existing cell phone data to analyze downtown foot traffic has been under scrutiny by some residents. In Sanford, Major Mark Dyer says the town council set out to weigh the benefits of systems like AI cameras with public concerns.
And they have to make that decision on what they move forward with and what they don't. And they decided not to move forward with this, and that's fine.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bedayan.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, horror movies. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.